Welcome to The Way Home with Laura Smith, the show that brings you wonderful guests, helpful advice, and uplifting stories. The Way Home, live inspired. Here's your host, Laura Smith.
Well, hopefully these next two guests are going to do just that for you. I know they will. I have two authors. One is an author and an inventor. You probably already know him. He's been on my show before, Arthur Lee. He invented LifeVac, that incredible device that saves people from choking. And I mean people of every age, and it has done so already by the thousands. But he's just written his first book, and it's really inspirational, very heartwarming. It's called Sorry, Can't is a Lie. And you're going to absolutely love the little golden nuggets of great advice in there and life, true life stories. Then we have Lori Stanley Roloveld here. She has written a very beautiful book. She's an award-winning author who has written several books, but the new one that we're talking about is Graceful Influence, Making a Lasting Impact Through Lessons from Women in the Bible. And she is a treasure trove of great and stories and takeaways from these women in the Bible who you'll never read with the same light again after this. And it's all brought to you by Balance of Nature, fruits and veggies in a capsule. And Balance of Nature has been a godsend for me and my family, and apparently a half a billion servings going to millions of people that are taking them on a daily basis, because people are seeing the value and the impact of what good nutrition does for your body on a daily basis. It's not easy to get all those fruits and vegetables in. The 10 servings we're supposed to have per day, not easy at all, and not cheap either. But Balance of Nature has found a way to come to the rescue. You get your 10 servings by 3 and 3 capsules a day of the fruits and vegetables, and it's a variety of 31 fruits and vegetables. There's no other product like it on the market. It is 100% food, and it will change your life. Just go to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. And when you order yours, put my name, Laura, into the promo code. That way they'll know that you heard it here on The Way Home. Laura, L-A-U-R-A. You'll also get 35% off your first order and free shipping always. When we come back, Arthur Lee, Sorry, Can't is a Lie. Don't go away. It's The Way Home.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Way Home with Laura Smith. Here's Laura.
Well, just very recently, I had a chance to meet in person someone who is a real-life hero of mine and thousands upon thousands, if not millions, of other people. He's been on my show before, but most importantly, he is the inventor of something that is literally saving lives by so many per day. It's truly incredible. Such an amazing story. Arthur Lee invented the amazing LifeVac, which is the anti-choking device that has, when we first started talking about it, and he came on my show last year, I think a few hundred had been saved here or there. And every day, it's so exponential, it's hard to keep up with, but it's in the thousands now, and which is just literally answer to prayer, I know, for him and for so many families in the world. But he's also just written a book. And so in addition to LifeVac, he wrote Sorry, Can't is a Lie. And I got a chance to read it flying down to Florida a couple of weeks ago for vacation. And I absolutely loved it. It was pure joy, and all his own story about his life and his upbringing and everything that seems to matter in not only making a LifeVac, of course, happen, but making him the man that he is today. Arthur, thank you so much for joining us on The Way Home again.
I thank you. You've always been there. And, you know, it's cool when someone I've known a while, and when we first started talking, I don't think we were at 500 lives, and now we're coming up on 2,000. And I appreciate you reading my book. I appreciate the comments, and I'm just grateful. Thank you.
Well, we will be going back and forth between the lives you've saved and this book, but the book was truly a gem. And when I got to meet you in Florida, and I'd already read it, and it was just precious to me. And you were starting to sell them. You had literally just launched it on Amazon, and I think you had sold your first copy or your second copy. And now, yeah, I look, and you're up to, is it 200 now?
Yeah, it's really taken off. And I got to tell you, the reviews have been very heartwarming because, you know, I really bare my soul quite a bit. And the stories are how we in life develop our foundational elements, how we develop our non-negotiables. But the underlying theme is suicide prevention. 700,000 people commit suicide every year. It's an epidemic, you know. And for quite some time, about 20 years, I certainly wanted to go that route. But it's not about that. That's a subtle side of it. You know, you read the stories and you know that it's in the middle. It's part of life for me. And my empathy is what stopped me from killing myself. And my empathy is what drove me for life back, right? I could not end my life because I saw the devastation that it did to the families. I saw what it would do to my mother. And life back, when I had it for Jackie and I could save her, selfishly, I was done. That's why I did it. But then thinking of a parent losing a child, a spouse losing their spouse, a grandparent dying at the Thanksgiving table, then I was driven to do it to others. And every time we save a life, I think of the other people. They don't have to feel what I felt. And that's a beautiful thing.
You know, Arthur, yes, and you're talking about, there's a few places in the book, a lot of it were life lessons, things that you kind of derived from your father and your grandfather, your mother, and just your upbringing on Long Island. And it was just, it kind of makes me feel like from a time past, now I obviously it was a past because it was several decades ago, but it just feels like the wisdom that you were taught and just the way you played out your life and just kind of carefree, somewhat innocent days, basically, feels like a world that doesn't really exist anymore almost. And I think when people are reading Sorry, Can't Is a Lie, is they're relishing this beautiful sense of just everyday goodness that, our world just seems so out of control right now that this is it, like people can hold on to this and hopefully they're passing it on to their kids as well. Let's talk about just that, the title of the book, Sorry, Can't Is a Lie. You told me personally what that means. And for someone who hasn't picked up the book yet, what is that? What does it mean? Sorry, Can't Is a Lie.
Well, you know, I love that you understand it. The book is we don't know how we develop our foundational elements, right? And some of it from movies or my dad or TV or a friend, an instant. Can't is a lie. The title comes from not being allowed to say the word can't in my household. And when I reflected, I understood how that changed me, right? If you say, you know, I can't make it Wednesday. Well, you could make it, but you don't want to. So you really are lying. You could make it. It's not that you can't. So you have to take a second and say, you know, I'm not allowed to say can't come, so I have to say I have other plans. Now, when you have that moment of reflection, you may say, you know what, I can change my plans. I am going to go. Now, and then you take it into a bigger picture, since you're not allowed to say that word, I almost said it, and I try never to say it, is you immediately think of what you can do, right? Now, this was up since I was a little kid. My dad worked on the space program, put a man on the moon. I grew up in an environment of anything is possible. And elimination of that word makes you more honest and your brain works differently. You immediately start thinking of what I can do because I'm not allowed to say I can't. So that was the foundation of retrospectively looking at the events that made me who I am. But and the sharing side is, my hope, is that people do that. And they understand that, you know, when they were a kid and, you know, they didn't share their ice cream, that really was, and you feel bad, well, now you're going to share, you know. And, like, and the oddness is, you know, I saw true love in the movie Rocky, right? Not really a love story, but that's where I saw it. Nothing is impossible because I threw a marshmallow into a gale force wind that landed in my buddy's mouth. Those are the stories that stick with you and that when you're in a situation, you can depend on. They're your foundational elements. And that was the fun of it. And that was the hope that people who read it find their own foundational elements.
Yes, there's a lot of inspiration in the many anecdotes and the many beautiful stories and life lessons, and often humorous as well. I mean, you paint really good pictures about, you know, what it was when you were a teenager and different things. Now, there is a very huge poignant story in the middle of the book that I won't give that away, but it's, you know, it was unexpected when I read the book, of something that you endured and you went through, and that probably, I would say, made for the most growth in your life and changed the direction of your life forever. And it is so poignant, but I was so appreciative that you shared it on such a raw level, of something so heartbreaking that you went through and with your friends. And it truly, so these are the things that give someone purpose in their life when they do decide. And I'm so grateful. I did not know that you were hoping to help people from, you know, the ideation of suicide.
Yeah, well, that's on purpose. I don't believe that person who's spiraling down like I did, telling them how someday life's going to be good, it's going to get better. I think the first thing you have to do is find a foundation to not kill yourself, right? Because if you told me, someday, I didn't care, but I had a reason why it wasn't an acceptable option. So my hope is you read it and you find your own option. That it took 20 years for my life to get better. I had 20 years to want to live. But when I found that moment that I could not purposely end my life because it would destroy my mom, it was no longer an option, right? And a lot of the stories in the book are foundations, right? I talked my friend into hitting his friend guy in the head with a rock. Well, from that moment on, I knew I couldn't manipulate people. I had to be careful with what my direction is with someone else. And also, I have a responsibility not to watch something bad happen. But the goal is to set your foundation. And in that realm, don't worry about someday it's going to be great. Someday life's going to get better. Just find a reason to live that is non-negotiable, and then deal with the pain until it gets better.
Mm-hmm. You work through it. Those are beautiful values. A lot of people, you did have a great foundation. You did have a father who was a great role model in the home, and your beautiful mother who loved you so deeply, and your sister. You had family and also dear friends, and you had great experiences. So there was something to maybe kind of balance it out when things were truly bad. You did have words come back to you that helped you to get to the next place in your life. And there were choices that you made as well. I mean, you obviously, these are all based on choices that you made, personal choices. And I think what people, when they read the book, Sorry, Can't is a Lie, they see how much of it is about personal choice. You can make these choices. And a lot of times they're the really hard ones that change your life for better every day. One of them being, what made you want to invent LifeVac, and not only invent it, but save the lives that you have. People can't see right now because we are on Zoom. It's visual for us, but they're just hearing this on good old-fashioned radio. But sitting behind you are these thousands of photographs of people that have been saved by LifeVac. And that room is the most inspirational, because the last time I had you on the show, there were not half as many as that.
I know. That's why I wanted you to see it. You know, I'm sitting here, and like I said, we're on radio, but if you pictured a 4x4 picture, there are almost 2,000 pictures on our walls. And I come in here for inspiration, but getting back to it, it's not necessarily the life that was saved, which is amazing, but the people that you save that would have been devastated had we not persevered. And you got to remember, I did it for about almost 6 years before we saved our first life. But my story and my knowledge of the devastation that sudden loss can do drove me, and it became a non-negotiable. The moment I decided I needed to do it, I never stopped. And I don't think you can't project the future. You just have to know that your purpose, and just keep going until it happens.
Mm-hmm. It changes everything. And so you've written your book now, which is something you always wanted to do. Was that in some ways a difficult process or a little bit scary because it was out of your wheelhouse?
Absolutely. You know, what happened was I was searching for a solution for a particular problem, and I started pulling out of this Rolodex, and some of them made me laugh, and some of them made me think and cry. But the thought was, if I share this, I can help other people. And that's my foundation, is my empathy, and I can't help that. And it's a gift and a curse. But the funny ones, and for me, laughing that I, you know, a rock to the head or a marshmallow or, you know, a movie or a quote or, you know, going over Niagara Falls in a barrel, that these set these foundations that maybe I could stimulate people to find their own. And, you know, some of the reviews are great. I laughed, I cried. You know, I've had people write, I've read it three times. I've had people say they've highlighted parts of it. So I really am more comfortable, as scary as it was and as difficult as it was to share all this, that it will serve its purpose. People will be helped. People will change direction. And I hope they do it by laughing, because a lot of stories are pretty funny, too.
They are. They're all gems, all of the stories, and all of the, there's little golden nuggets that you get out of each of the stories,
right,
whether they're poignant and tragic or whether they're funny and memorable. They're gems that you take away. And I remember you were like, you know, I wonder what they're going to think about it. I know you were worried, like, are they going to like this? That must be, you know, when you put yourself out there, especially your life story, it's not like you're writing a novel and it's a made up story. This is about your own life. You wonder, you know, how am I doing? And did I write it in a way that really, you know, speaks to people? And it did. You have like 5 stars. I've been looking at the reviews, and you literally have 5 stars and hundreds of reviews, and people are very pleased.
I am so grateful, and that's why I wanted people like you that could have soul and could read it first to make me comfortable with sharing such personal information. But the foundation, too, is right physical. It's a very simple book. It has a brown cover. It's got pictures of me as a kid. It is not a professional book. It's me. I wrote it. I did it, and I had someone fix it up. Like, you know, it's not – it doesn't glow. It's warm. It's an ember. It's not a shining bright light with glossy pictures. It's a brown paper wrapper. And I wanted it simple and humble, because my goal is just to say, look, these are thoughts I had, you know, laugh, cry, maybe it'll help you. And I didn't want it perfect. There's an old chapter on perfection. I didn't get a super duper editor and a Q code and blah, blah, blah. I wrote it, I printed it, and I put it up there, and hopefully it helps someone else.
Well, I have a manuscript of it. So I unfortunately do not have the cute pictures of you when you were little. So I'm going to have to buy the, sorry, can't is a lie, just so I can see the pictures, because I need the full experience here. But I really encourage everybody to read it. It's a quick read, but it's a warm read. Like you said, it's like an ember and just, you know, beautiful things. And I just, it really reinforces for me so much just how much, yeah, you know, how we affect others and how we are affected by them and the good, you know, the, if you can choose, you know, the good and the wise things, you know, they will help you in your life. They will guide it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. That's from the Bible. And it's so true. And it's, you have a lot of what, you know, happened in your childhood, I think, carried you through to the other chapters in your life. And now saving the lives of, it will be millions. I know LifeVac will be talking together on the radio next year, and more people. And you know what I'm so grateful for is when I talk to people now about LifeVac, 99% of them say, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Oh, that looks amazing. Oh, I'm going to get that. So now when I first met you and we were first talking about this last year, people were like, oh no, that sounds really like something important or whatever. Now people are like, oh, I've heard of it. I've seen it. It's so great. And we want to make sure though, when people buy LifeVac, you can go to lifevac.net, is that because they're, of course, like anything beautiful in the world, people will try to knock it off and make a poor replica of it. And it's not the right thing. And when it comes to saving lives, that is way too crucial. You've got to get the real deal. It is lifevac.net.
Well, if you look at the LifeVac in the book in conjunction, right? I make life back in America. It lasts forever. And that was one of my challenges early on, because anyone who wanted to be involved said it had to expire. Covers your whole family, children and adults. You use it, I'll give you a free one. The soul and heart are there. I was under a great deal of pressure to make it expire, right? But my dad would not like that, so I didn't do it. A lot cheaper to make it in China and avoid regulations. No, I made it here, and we test them, double test each one. So there is a combined, if you read the book, you'll understand why LifeVac is the way it is. And you understand why I'm sitting in a room with 2,000 pictures. It is not an easy thing to do. But each life is precious, and we'll always treat it that way. And we will always embrace the life we did save. And a lot of these 2,000 pictures are the real people. I come in here and look at the faces of 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 6-week-old that we saved to re-energize and re-go back at the world and say, no, we are going to stop these horrible deaths. Whether you like it or not, I'm coming and we're going to win.
Oh, 100%. And like you said, it's exponential, because for the 2,000 pictures that are currently there right now, you add on 100 people to each of those 2,000.
Because right. That's how many exactly people. What I feel.
Yes, that one person saving their life affects 100 surrounding them. And like you said, it's such a ripple effect. It's so important, and it's just honestly, there are not that many great stories that are being published this day and age, and also being talked about, and also new inventions that are changing the world. But you are, and yours is. And so is your book. And I'm so grateful, Arthur Lee. You are a humble servant.
Yeah,
I am. You are a servant of God. You are a servant of humanity. And you're just a wonderful downer. Everything that you read in the book is 100% true you, which is true blue. Sorry, yeah. Can't is a Lie is the beautiful book. Get it. It's so warming, and you'll love it. And you'll get to know the man behind the incredible device, LifeVac, even more so, and you'll love him just as much as you love the product. Arthur,
so
really,
sweet.
Thank you for all you are doing. We are in full gratitude and not able to express how much so, but thank you for inventing LifeVac, and thank you for writing the beautiful book, Sorry, Fantasy
Love. You keep sharing stories like this, as I know you do, and meeting you in person, your passion to use your voice to do good. And I am very grateful for you, and I look forward to another lunch where we could blab like without time constraints.
That would be great. I can't wait. I'd look forward to it.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Wait. You can wait. You can't. You're not allowed to use that.
I'm not allowed to use the word can't. I won't wait. How about that?
Yeah, that's better. I like it.
I love it. Arthur Lee, everybody. The book is Sorry, Can't is a Lie. You can find it on Amazon or even his own website for LifeVac, the incredible product that saves people from choking. LifeVac.net. It's spelled LifeVac.net. Thank you, Arthur. Much love.
I miss you. Thank you. Bye.
I miss you too.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Way Home with Laura Smith. Here's Laura.
There are a lot of great books about different beloved people in the Bible, characters, but they're not really characters. They were real people, historical figures and such. And there have even been some about the women in the Bible, but a special book came to my attention from a very special lady who's a publicist, who happens to be a great writer herself and always connects me with the most interesting people. Her name is Jackie Maruschka, but she introduced Lori Stanley Roloveld to me. And she has written many, many books already. She's very prolific, award-winning at that. But her latest, or one that has come to my attention, is something so beautiful. It's called Graceful Influence, Making a Lasting Impact Through Lessons from Women in the Bible. And the way this book is structured is not only historically beautiful and accurate in their lessons, but she has done it in a way to help you take those lessons from each of these beautiful women in the Bible and what they teach us on such a profound level. And I just absolutely think that This is for everybody. It's not just for women. It's not just for Christians. Although, indeed, it's these are the people from the Bible that we as Christians love to hear about every day. It's for everybody. Incredible lessons. So, Lori, thank you for being here today and for writing this book.
Oh, thanks for having me. And thanks for mentioning that there's a book for everybody, not just women. I did a blog post about that there's a lot of reason for men to study women in the Bible. Women study the men of the Bible all the time. So
that is very true. Indeed it is. And graceful influence, you've taken the word influence and we're thinking of it just as for what it is. But in this day and age, the word influencer is part of the lexicon of all things modern in the world, and how we see people that become sort of people on the internet that people tend to follow. So they're you know, called influencers in the sense that, you know, what they say tends to influence many people. It's interesting. It's a concept. I have friends who have literally changed their careers and become influencers. I know people who've they've earned millions of dollars as an influencer, but you use it in a way for this book for these women in the Bible and how they were the very first influencers before the rise of what we think of it as now. So tell us the premise of the book. I love how you've paired up a lot of the women. Some of them are on their own, but each of them with a special lesson. So you must know an awful lot about these women. You must be a great Bible scholar.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time with the Bible. I have a degree in biblical studies, but most of what I learned from the Bible, I learned just in life's trenches, studying it myself and looking to just glean from it what makes sense for my life. Yeah, the premise of the book came because I kind of get annoyed that we at women's comparisons of each other, and we do that too with women in the Bible, especially Mary and Martha. And all due respect to the authors who went before me, you know, who wrote about, like, don't be a Martha, you know, be a Mary. We've never had a book called Don't Be a John, Be a Peter. Like, men don't do that. We recognize that there are, you know, that everybody has value. And Jesus wasn't doing that either when he told Martha, you know, look at the choice Mary's making. That was what he said. He said, didn't say stop being Martha. Mary's better than you are. He said, look at the choice she's making. I invite you to make that choice too. And so I wanted to look at the choices women made in the Bible and look at the impact of those choices so that we're not like looking at good girls and bad girls or villains and saints, but we're just looking at, like, look at their circumstances and look at the choices they made. And how far did their impact go? And that this was long before anybody could have a million followers. They still had, you know, like decades or sometimes even, you know, thousands of years of influence. Yes.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you did come out of the gate at the beginning of the book with the Mary Martha story, because just the other day I was hearing it. I was listening to Joel Osteen on Sirius XM, and I was listening to that, and I've often referred to that in my life. Oh my goodness, am I focusing on the right thing, or am I being too busy with the mundane aspects of everyday life? Like, Lord, get a grip here, you know. So I think about that one often, but you're right. It was such an eye opener the way you approached it. It's like, let's stop, you know, comparing the two in terms of good and bad or right and wrong, and just see the lovely lessons within them and the true message that was probably there. But they are just the beginning, aren't they? I mean, how many incredibly brave, courageous, miraculous, often the characters that you would never think would make it through the test of time, but have through, you know, living lives that you know, ultimately we would never want to live or aspire to live. And yet they taught us the best lessons, the greatest lessons, and were some of Jesus's greatest, most beloved people. So I like how you take these, and I wish we had all day to talk about these, because I love all of them. But I'm thinking, you know, a lot of us refer to Ruth when we talk about women in the Bible and her example of, you know, pure devotion. But you put her together with someone else in the book. So tell me about the two there that you use with Ruth.
So who did I put Ruth with?
Ruth is paired with Delilah. Tell us what the the main nugget is there.
Yeah, so I talked about there the impact of devotion. And I looked at Delilah, who was a woman that was in a relationship with Samson, who's just a wild character in the Bible, sort of known for both his strength and for having not the greatest relationships with a lot of different women. Ruth and Delilah were both women who lived in the time of the judges, which was a time when the Bible says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so Delilah is very much in line with her times. So even though she makes kind of a scurrilous choice, we understand like she is just doing what everybody else is doing. We understand her choice in context. She, you know, when she goes into a relationship with Samson, the Philistines come to her and offer her 1,100 pieces of silver if she discovers the secret of his strength, and she seduces him and learns it and betrays him. So that, you know, that's, but we understand that. Ruth lives in those same times where people are only looking out for themselves, and she's surrounded by those people, but she chooses to look out for her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law is bitter. Her mother-in-law, like if you've been around bitter women, it is not, you know, her mother-in-law gave her an out and said, "You can leave me. I would have taken it." But Ruth says, "No, you know, I will take care of you. I'll follow your God." It's amazing, you know, when we see it in that context and understand there were other choices to make, but she made that choice. And
indeed, because the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, she did leave, and she went back to her family in Bethlehem or wherever it was. And then, but Ruth did not. But I love also the takeaway. It's sort of like, well, look what she did. She gave herself selflessly to this mother-in-law, which, yeah, you think about that. How, you know, it's not the most common everyday thing to do. And she left her country. She followed her. And then, but not in a great way. It's not like she followed her and she had millions of dollars and they lived happily ever after, taking care of each other again. No, they had nothing. But it was then that Boaz discovered her, you know, kind of in the fields, and ended up wanting to marry her, and that did so, and they lived happily ever after, so to speak. So it was almost as though, you know, you can make the hard choices in your life like Ruth, but then you glean, and no pun intended, but you end up, you know, really getting something in return for that. If your motive is really pure. And so I've always loved that, but you have a thousand examples here.
I have about 120 women that I talk about or at least mention from scripture.
And it's incredible.
They're all
and they're beautiful. And the way you've written it is beautiful. Now you've done something else, the way you've structured this book. After each chapter, you have what is, you lead people to the actual scripture that will have people be able to delve further in that. And then you have another section where people can go and discover more. And then you have what is called the battle. Mm-hmm. Now that is very interesting to me. Why did you include that? And what does it mean in reference to each of these chapters?
Yeah, because making choices that are, you know, noble and, you know, higher level than, you know, daily survival. It is a battle. It is a battle to do more than look out for me, to do more than just survive. And so in each chapter, I talk about the impact of one, you know, one decision. So the choice to be obedient, the choice to be, to protect life, the impact of prayer, the impact of service. And what is the battle that we make to make the choice that leads toward God? And, you know, in my mind, God is everything beautiful. He's light, he's beauty, he's love. You know, so we want the impact of our choices to be that, and not, you know, not death and sorrow. But it's hard to make those choices. So I just describe the battle and talk about how real it is, because it's not, you know, we present these women like it's easy. Oh, just make the choice to obey. You know what? Like, that's not easy. It's not easy to go against our own grain.
It comes with a great cost often. And there are so many interesting examples in the Bible when you think of them. And I think about how, you know, when the women at the tomb, when the tomb, they came to Jesus' tomb and he wasn't there any longer, and how the angel appeared to them. They were the first, and they were the ones to go back and tell the disciples that Jesus had risen. Like, you know, it was them. Jesus never differentiated, you know, man or woman. He was an equal opportunity long before, you know, there were so-called equal rights. He was truly the one, the lover of all, and had such great respect for women, even women who didn't have, you know, good reputations, because he always saw through that to who they were. Or he saw through Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and wanted to have dinner at his house. He was the most abhorred person in the area. Everyone hated him, the tax collector, but Jesus chose his house to go to have dinner that night. He was always seeing the best in everyone. And I think that's the lesson for us also in all these wonderful stories and women that you have paired up here for the different various lessons in life. And you paired Eve with Mary, the mother of Jesus, that Mary. Tell us what the connection is there for you. You said it's the impact of obedience also. They seem like such different characters. Obviously, we meet Eve and she almost immediately, you know, betrays everybody, including God, mostly God. And but then you've got Mary, who was so obedient too. So how did you put them together? And was there any common ground eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. What I love is to see how God reacted or interacted with every woman. So we all think like, oh, Eve and Mary, that, you know, disobedient, obedient. But Eve's story isn't just a story of disobedience. You know, God could have destroyed her. He could have said like, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's do Eve 2.0. You need some other one. We'll upgrade her and give you a new woman. Instead, you know, he loves her and she has to live with her choices and the impact of those choices. But he continues to love her. She brings children into the world. And one of those children, Seth, will be in the line of Jesus, who Mary carries. So that's, you know, he gives her a part in redemption, which I think we're used to dividing the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everybody thinks, oh, the God of the Old Testament was mean and, you know, smiting people and destroying people. And in the women's lives in the Old Testament, we see his mercy. We see that he loves them and talks with them. So Eve and Mary are a great example of that. Another one is Hagar. She's, you know, we talk all about how God talked with Abraham and made promises to Abraham. We don't talk enough about the fact that he met this, you know, his servant, this Egyptian servant, Hagar, in the desert. She was at that point, she was insignificant in terms of everybody around her, but the Lord talked to her and made her a promise for her son. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so many of them, they're just all juicy. It really, the stories, they're juicier than anything Hollywood could ever come up with. All of them, each and every one of them. And they're all very beautiful. My guest is Lori Stanley Roloveld. She is a writer that has written several award-winning books. The one we are discussing today is so beautiful. Graceful Influence: Making a Lasting Impact Through Lessons from Women in the Bible. I know that you do a lot helping, you know, Christians and, you know, learn how to write books. That's awesome. Another incredible thing you do. So you coach other writers, and often Christian writers, because there are many, many, many. But it's not easy to write. It's easy to write, I think, but it's not easy to write a great book. So you have so much experience with that. Can people call you and just get coaching from you in terms of do they hire you as their coach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I care, like my most of my clients are over 40 writers. I call them writers of a certain age, because the battle for writing is twofold. It's writing well, but it's also believing that you have something significant to say. And holding on to that against everything that pushes against that, all the rejections, all the times when you're not hearing anything. So that coaching is very much in line with this book, because I believe our greatest problem isn't that we are insignificant. It's that our significance gets hidden from us by our own, you know, the old mess in our own heads, or by, you know, the devil or whatever, you know, the whole world pressures us to say, well, you're not significant because your teeth aren't bright enough and you don't weigh the right amount and, you know, your hair is not right. So I, you know, when I coach women writers, part of it is the writing, and the other part is the mental stamina and the spiritual resilience to withstand what you need to withstand to stay in the game and keep writing.
It's a wonderful thing. And there's just so many books and so little time to get through them all. What could be more wonderful? But again, the book is Graceful Influence, Making a Lasting Impact Through Lessons from Women in the Bible. She has many other books as well. Lori Stanley Roloveld, how can people find you? What is an easy website and how they can also purchase the book, obviously, on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold?
Yep. You can find me on my website. My website is my name, LoriRoloveld.com. It's R-O-E-L-E-V as in Victor, E-L-D. Or my tagline is Disturber of Hobbits. If you Google that, I'm the only Disturber of Hobbits that's out there on the web so far.
And what does that mean? I saw that, Disturber of Hobbits.
Well, I think I'm very much like a hobbit. I think a lot of the American church especially is like that. We like our comforts. We like our meals on time. We worry that adventures will make us late for dinner. But Jesus calls us into adventures. And then, you know, I've always gone kicking and screaming. But then there's a point like with Bilbo where I'm like, wait, I think I like adventures. I think I was made for this. And I like to disturb other Christians into that same adventure.
That's lovely. Yeah, Disturber of Hobbits. Just put that in and Lori Stanley Roloveld will pop up there and her website and how you can get coached if you have a book that's in you that is absolutely wanting to get out in the biggest way. So thank you. And thank you for writing again, Graceful Influence. It's a beautiful book and I encourage it for everybody, men, women, and children. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Way Home with Laura Smith. Once again, here's Laura.
With me today, someone with the same last name, Mark Smith. He's the Program Manager of Technology Integration, Vehicle Technologies Office, Department of Energy. Wow, so much. And Jack Martin, student at Rose Holman Institute of Technology. And they're here to tell us about something really exciting that's going on that your student might be able to take part in. And when I say Bat Challenge, I'm not talking about the superhero. I'm talking about something else. Thank you for joining us today, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much
for having us, Laura.
Do tell, what is the Bat Challenge and how is it that people from all over the U.S. are going to be able to take place in the competition?
Sure. So the Bat Challenge is actually an initiative that was formed between the U.S. Department of Energy, Stellantis, and Argonne National Lab. And the intent of the Bat Challenge is to really train the next generation of engineers, technicians, and other essential workers we're going to need as we transition our transportation and mobility segment over to electric vehicles. We know that we need to build up a supply chain here in the U.S. to make the parts and components necessary for those vehicles. But we also know that we are going to need more than 230,000 workers by 2030 to meet those needs. So this competition will train that next generation of engineers and technicians and other essential workers, as I mentioned, to meet that important need.
Absolutely. So, Jack Martin, you're a student at Rose Holman Institute of Technology. Is your whole school involved in this or just a category of students, or are you the only one there representing your school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right. As a competition team, it's really open to whoever would like to join. I serve as the project manager, but I mean, it's a whole entire organization with a structure with a respective swim lanes and sub teams that are all working to develop this battery pack system. So I'm with our grateful sponsors from Stellantis is the headline sponsor, Automotive. They're providing with us with cells for the competition, and we're really just designing everything around that.
So what we're looking at, I guess, is going to be a new segment of students that are really involved in creating the next best version of what the electric battery is going to be for these vehicles. And so it's a competition. What is the criteria for getting into it? And then also, what do you have to accomplish in order to be the so-called winner? And what do you get if you do?
So look, it is a competition, but what I would say is it's a friendly competition. The teams, it's a three-year program. The teams are being judged at the end of each year. And then the team at the end will win $100,000. So a lot on the line here. But as I said, it's a friendly competition and the teams work very well together and really, I think, spur each other on in a very positive way.
I think it's just great that the Department of Energy, you know, such as you, Mark Smith, Program Manager of Technology there and integration, that you are involving younger people and people in school. I think it's very exciting. It really adds a whole new dimension to it. And I'm grateful that this is happening. Do you expect the competition to grow every year to more and more schools participating and other programs like this?
Sure. Well, right now, this competition is 3 years, so we'll be pretty soon starting to look ahead at recruiting more schools through an open solicitation for the next round.
Well, it's very exciting, and I wish you all the best of luck. So thank you so much. And for information where people can find out more about this to maybe get involved, what would be a good website to go to?
Sure, Laura. There's a website called avtcseries.org. And folks can go there to learn more about the competition and keep track of the progress the teams are making throughout the next 3 years.
It'll be fun to watch avtcseries.org. .org. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Mark Smith, Program Manager of Technology Integration, Vehicle Technologies Office, the U.S. Department of Energy, and Jack Martin, student at Rose Holman Institute of Technology. The future is here. Thank you so much for joining us today on
Thank
the Way
you,
Home.
Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. You're listening to The Way Home. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Way Home with Laura Smith. Here's Laura.
Ah, I have so much fun. What a great show. I like to think of it as an hour of nothing but inspiration. And at the end of every show, we do just that by bringing in the big guns when it comes to good news. His name's Jim Cleafield. I call him Jimmy Dean. But every week, he's got stories that will make you feel just like, you know what? Everything's going to be okay. Hi, Jim. What do you have for us today?
Well, LJ, this story starts in a place you might be familiar with. You visited Utah not too long ago. It's a place called Bountiful, Utah. Have you ever heard of that place?
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, having said that, this is a wonderful love story. It's something that I've read several times, did a double take. I mean, this was so amazing. It's the story of Kelsey Pohl and Tyler West that goes back some two decades. It's one of these serendipitous connections. I'm not to be confused with Serendipity, that great movie with John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale many years ago, although it could be a really nice sequel. But here's what happened. These two had a chance encounter. That doesn't happen very often. One day, Kelsey was working at a bank. She was a teller when she met Tyler. Instant connection, instant bond led to a passionate romance and a proposal where somebody said yes, of course. But this is the amazing thing. As they were planning their wedding, and this, again, this goes back some 22 years, they were going down a trip down memory lane. They were looking at Kelsey's little baby book just to see, you know, kind of learn more about her and her family, what it was like when she was a little kid. This is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They look through the book, and the first thing they see that there is a picture of Tyler's mom, named Marianne West, taking photos of Kelsey's footprints when she was a newborn. This was like over 20 years ago, right? And he looks at this photo and say, "That's my mom," Tyler said. "It can't be. It's her." Well, if that wasn't amazing enough, LJ, they also stumbled upon the birth certificate for Kelsey that was given to her mom. Do you know who signed it? It turned out to be Marianne's distinctive handwriting. She signed that birth certificate. And they both say to each other, "You know, this, now I can see why we were brought together. We were meant to be. This was just something out of the blue, this chance encounter, maybe just our families or were related in some way or were friends, and that's why we were meant to be together." And they are just so thrilled. And the fact that her mom had something to do with this connection, it must have been a sign from God or something, because we talk so many times about how the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, hear how they brought this couple together through this chance encounter, and the fact that Tyler's mom, in a way, had a hand in it, and they didn't even know about it. Just a wonderful story. Good for them.
She might have had a hand in it, but she also had two little feet.
She did. She did. Good point.
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love that. So here she is taking a picture of her future daughter-in-law's toes and feet. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, how incredible. I have heard some types of similar stories, but nothing quite like that. I do have a cousin who, she was born on the same day as this other baby, and her mom and the other baby's mom were actually friends. Well, 40 years later, they did date for a while, and they were in the bassinets next to each other in the hospital. So I think, you know, sometimes these things have just destiny written all over it. But I love your story. That is so precious that he recognized his mom. And that's funny because I have my birth certificate with my little feet on it, but there's nobody taking a picture. So this must have been her family, the girl's family,
taking a picture of the process.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I can't explain it. I mean, it's just one of these miracles that happen.
Incredible. I love it. And everyone listening, thank you for listening to The Way Home. Each and every one of you are a part of The Way Home family. And we just wish for nothing but, you know, great happiness and safety and good health and prosperity, success, everything that you can possibly have to make your life a good one. And we'll see you next time, next week on The Way Home. I'm Laura Smith.